I was in the car the other day and I was driving along, and what do you reckon came on the radio?
Was it potentially Loreen and Tattoo?
Yes, it was. I don't know how you actually got that, because I think this is the first time I've heard it since exactly about a month ago.
Okay.
But, you know, it's sort of standing the test of time in a kind of a way, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's done pretty well in the charts across Europe. I mean, it's funny, I was just being on holiday in Albania for a music festival, and the hotel I was at, the guys who were on the floor above us would play Tattoo, but just the beginning of it, weirdly, you know, like, dun, dun, dun. And then they would stop. I don't know if it was some kind of sound alert they had or something, but then they would play another song. Never heard the full element of Tattoo, but it's clearly out there in some aspects, in various areas, including on the radio.
It's in the world, as is this podcast. We are back for another edition of Nulpois.
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, hello. Welcome back. It's me, Laura, and Martin over there for Nulpois, the UK-based Eurovision podcast. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we are trying to learn. Coming up later on the show, we're going to be speaking to Susie, another Eurovision podcaster from the Euro Riffs podcast, talking about their time in Liverpool and a bit more about what they do for Euro Riffs. But first of all, we're going to be talking a little bit about Eurovision 2023 and kind of what the stars have done since that time, because we're in sort of the fallow period now, aren't we? Yeah. Before September.
Yeah.
It is. That's what I like to think of this little denouement that we have.
Great word. Don't really know what it means, but great word. Loved it. Yeah, there have been little bits and bobs going on about what different stars have been up to. By the way, we will talk in a moment about rumours over where Eurovision will be held in 2024 in the host city. But onto that in a moment. First, to France and a little bit of controversy for poor old Évidemment Lazara.
Yes, or some people would say deserved controversy. This has been going on since her performance in the grand final, and really her gesture that she made when she got the public vote result. She made a little gesture. It was kind of a middle finger. It was her sort of being like, F you to the public. And that didn't go down very well with some elements of the French media and international critics as well. People were not a fan of that reaction that she gave. And she'd kind of had a bit of a persona before that as well, as being a bit, I don't know,
prickly?
Not really gelling.
A bit prickly.
Being a bit what?
Bit prickly.
Yeah.
Bit prickly.
Bit prickly. Some would, yeah, a bit prickly and a bit of a diva. And there was an Instagram story she wrote, which had some very kind of rude, some rude elements to it. And it sounded like she was a bit aloof and a bit prickly and not really gelling with the rest of the kind of Eurovision, hey, we're all in it together, we're having fun, we love everybody vibe. She has described that move that she'd done as cultural, saying that people might have misinterpreted it, but it didn't
come
go down
on,
well. Yeah, I know.
On.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it's her culture. But she came back to France. The gesture, apparently everyone was trying to decipher that gesture and commenting about it for a long time. It didn't go down well with the French media. So now she's got this tour, this French tour in the summer, and tickets are not selling well. They've had to downgrade the cost. Some, you know, they're offering some of the tickets for about €3.
I think we should go.
They were originally about sort of, you know, £39 to £59. So they're really selling them cheap. Other dates have been cancelled or postponed. They say it's because of technical problems. The French media are saying it's because of the venues not being filled. I don't know. It's interesting to think, is it just because of this sort of persona, or is it just that people didn't really like the song and her style? They just weren't interested in her. Or maybe Eurovision is another point. You know, are the French really that into Eurovision, and would they be interested in it? It would be more interesting to compare it to other previous French acts. And, you know, for example, Barbara Pravi, how well did she sell? I imagine probably quite well. I think she did, you know, the French public liked her quite a lot. But I don't know, thoughts on this?
I just think that old Lazara has got herself into a little bit of a pickle here. People don't like being sworn at, do they, really?
In general, they don't.
And that doesn't tend to go down very well. It sort of, for me, plays into her reaction. It plays into this feeling that I've always had about the French and how they perceive Eurovision, which is that they're not really bothered, and unless they're doing particularly well in it, they don't care about it at all. Not going to watch it. Can't be asked. And yeah, whatever. Who cares what the public think? And that was all just summed up, which would then make sense if she was doing a European tour and nobody wanted to go to it. But the fact that she's in France, you would have thought, well, I'd always assumed that the kind of the French should have shared that sentiment a little bit, and so would have been, yeah, good on you, go for it. Who cares what the public think across Europe? So it's a surprise, quite a nice surprise in a way, to see them not being very happy at that gesture.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that even if, and you know, we're just getting these reports, we obviously, we don't live in France, we can't verify if this is the case, but we're getting reports that, you know, it's, there's been a bit of controversy and not selling as well. I think it is worth still saying Evidemment, you know, song is, you know, close to sort of 20 million streams in general. She is performing at other festivals outside of France. So, and she's recording new music. So it's not, you know, that she's absolutely hated and that is it. It just sounds like the gesture was kind of, didn't go down very well in France. And I think maybe it's just that the French public just aren't that interested in seeing a Eurovision star. And some people are interpreting it's because of this gesture.
Could be. All right, let's move on to Romania now, where there's news of the Eurovision entry for this year, Theodor Andrei, who isn't too pleased. A little cheesed off, I think it's fair to say, about the Romanian national broadcaster.
Yes, that's right. And do you remember Theodore's entry in Eurovision, Martin?
I do not. One iota.
I thought you would say that. I thought you were going to say that. It's the one, I wasn't a fan of the song, and the staging was quite weird. It was him going, da-da-da-da-da,
oh, of course.
And he did sing it like that.
It's all coming back to me now. Uh-huh.
Yeah, now you remember. It was called DGT Off and On. And it was a really odd staging that he had, but he's now come out in an interview and he's been talking, alleging that the broadcaster TVR in charge of the Romanian delegation at Eurovision, they're saying he had this dream of Eurovision and they turned it into a nightmare. And what he's kind of alleging is that the choices they made just didn't really help him at all. He was talking about that he didn't really have much of a budget allocated for the performance. They didn't provide funds for a music video for his Eurovision entry, so he had to kind of self-finance his own video for it. But then the broadcaster, there was more tensions because they forbade him from publishing it. This is what he's claiming. It sounds like they were sort of restricting him in quite a lot of areas, which is interesting contrasting that to Lazara, who almost sounds in some aspects wasn't really wanting to be part of Eurovision, or maybe just appearing a bit more aloof about it all. And then here's this guy who's really keen, wants to do lots for it, but it's being held back a little bit.
Coming up in a few moments' time, we're going to be, well, talking to Susie from the Euroriffs podcast. We're also going to be talking about possible changes to how Eurovision might be sounding next year. But first, where's it going to be? This is the big question, really, at roundabout this time, because it's the only thing to talk about. We know it's going to be in Sweden. It's not like last year where we didn't even know what country it was going to be in. We know it's going to be in Sweden. It was in Stockholm last time Sweden hosted, but time before that was in Malmo. I don't really know where else it could be. Gothenburg, maybe that's somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. What are people saying?
Yeah, so the Swedish broadcast SVT, they haven't released any kind of potential host cities or venues yet. The deadline has gone. So if you are a Swedish city, you're listening to this, you're a Swedish city and you wanted to take part, I'm sorry, but you were too late. You should
which
have got your
Swedish bidding. City would you be if you were a Swedish city?
And not one of the big ones that have put their bid in.
No, you can be.
So I would be Visby.
Visby, is it because it sounds like Frisbee?
No, it's literally just because I googled Swedish city very quickly. Or it might be Lund, actually. Could be Lund. Wouldn't mind being Lund.
Yeah.
Or Uppsala, actually.
Oh, Uppsala.
Because that's quite fun. Uppsala.
I would be Sveg.
Yes, I think you would be, actually. Yes, I think that suits. I'd be Uppsala and you'd be Sveg, and I think that suits us all very well. Well, anyway, that's taken a strange turn. Hey, get in touch with us. Which Swedish city would you be? Anyway, the media in Sweden, they've reported four cities have applied to host, and two of them you're probably not surprised about, Stockholm and Malmö. Gothenburg's the third, and then another one called Ormskoldsvik.
Uppsala.
It's Ormskoldsvik, which I think is quite small, but there you go. Those are the four. We don't know yet which one it's going to be. I mean, I think we can guess probably Stockholm or Malmö, and I think we'd both prefer if it was Malmö because we've been to Stockholm. I don't think it will be. There's thoughts on Gothenburg of the fact that the roof doesn't quite fit the EBU's requirements, so it's not looking like it'd be Gothenburg. I think it might be Stockholm again.
Yeah, which I'm not happy about that because I want to go somewhere I haven't been before. But yeah. Okay, Stockholm's pretty good. Very good city. I mean, Sweden's fantastic for hosting Eurovision. Great place to go. Yeah. So yeah, it's anywhere it is, it's going to be absolutely fine. But we wait and we twiddle our thumbs whilst they decide where they're going to host it. What might it sound like, though, at the Eurovision Song Contest next year? Well, there's a canary in the coal mine that could provide the answer. Now, a little while ago, we had a guest on this podcast who taught us something, and we've listened to that, and we've applied it every single year. So what we got taught was that Junior Eurovision is the place that they try out lots of different things that they might want to change about the actual Eurovision in years to come. So they try out different things. For example, the kind of flag parade that they do at the start of the grand final, you know, when all the different countries, they walk in, they wave, and they say, and from Estonia, it's so-and-so, and from Sweden, it's such-and-such, and they come in and they wave. That was trialed at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, and they liked it, and so they used it. So everybody watches Junior Eurovision to see what they're trialing and what might work that might feature in the main contest. Now, during COVID, they removed the need for live backing vocalists because it was just more people, trying to keep the numbers of people down. So they said, no need to have a backing vocalist, and you can put your backing vocals on the track, on the backing track. Now there seems to be a change because Junior Eurovision has now ditched that. They've gone back to using live backing vocalists.
Yeah, as you said, this was sort of going to be a one-year trial because of COVID, because of backing singers, therefore not all having to travel, which, you know, it's when there's travel restrictions anyway, it was easier for people. It still remains so far for Eurovision. Now, as you say, Junior Eurovision is changing this, so it's all going to be live once again. And, you know, it's had some interesting reaction there. Some people saying they actually preferred the pre-recorded backing vocals because it sounded a bit more professional, particularly for Junior Eurovision. Some people saying, well, you know, that limits the type of production people can use for their music if you can't have pre-recorded backing vocals. Other people, of course, making the point, well, it is a song contest, so everything should be live. What do you think about it?
I've always maintained that I would really like a return to the orchestra.
Yes.
So I think it was, and I'll be in correction corner for this, but pre-90s, I think there was always an orchestra. You're going to look it up. You give me that look. So I know the answer and you don't. There was always an orchestra that would play live, and then they stopped that. And I loved that. Having live music is a big part of a live event, and I think as much of it should be live as possible. You get a different performance every night. You get a bespoke thing that happens there in that moment that is only ever going to be enjoyed by the people who are there watching it there and then, right now. And I think that's a magical thing. And the more that can be done to get closer to that, the better. And so having live backing vocalists is just another way of getting closer to that. So for me, I'm all in favour. The more live, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, Martin, when did you say there was a live orchestra until?
I said until 96. So I'm saying that in 97, it Oh, no, no, I changed my mind. I'm going to
no,
say...
No, you can't change it. You can't. You can't.
Because it...
Go on, what were you...
Well, I'm thinking there was a live band for Katrina and the Waves, which was 97. So I'm saying in... So I'm slightly altering it. In 97, there was a live orchestra. So I'm saying 98, there wasn't.
No, Martin, you're wrong. It's from 1999, there wasn't.
God. Sometimes I just
you'll be getting on to us again, but okay, fine. You were 1 year out. That's not bad for you.
No.
But I'm kind of with you. I think I'd like to see things as live as possible. So let's see if that's what happens for regular Eurovision next year.
Absolutely right. Still to come, your correspondence.
So now let's have a little chat with a fellow Eurovision podcaster, and that is Susie from the Euro Riffs podcast. Welcome, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. So Euro Riffs, tell us a little bit about your podcast. What's it all about?
Euro Riffs, we call ourselves the peripheral Eurovision podcast, because what we focus on is music from Eurovision artists after the competition. We look at music that they've just dropped. We go back and look at artists from previous years, see what they're still doing. And we also look at artists that either maybe didn't quite make it to Eurovision. So it's a nice way to just keep everyone still in the loop to see what everyone is still doing.
I think that's so interesting, isn't it? Because very often people are famous for the Eurovision song, and then you never hear from them again. In some cases, I mean, some people keep coming back, but very often they do disappear. What do you find is the kind of like the hit rate for artists that tend to do well after Eurovision for other songs?
It really depends on the country. We have a lot that we see that I see come up again and again and again in their particular country. Obviously, we follow a lot of the big ones that everyone knows. We keep up on bands like Måneskin and Blind Channel and several of the big ones. But we like to kind of get outside that as well. So I keep an eye on the charts in different countries just to see who else kind of crops up here and there. And then you have people that are real characters like San Marino's Sinnott. She has some great stuff that she brings out all the time. You know, it just really depends.
Now, you were also in Liverpool this year for the contest. So what was your experience like there? Did you enjoy it? What was it like for you?
Liverpool was incredible. I went to Turin was my first in-person year, which was great. Turin, the actual show itself was fantastic, apart from the Rainbow of Doom, but we'll leave that. But Liverpool, my goodness, I mean, they embraced it from the second you got 5 miles outside the city. As soon as we drove in, it was just absolutely everywhere. And they just nailed it. I know that I might sound like I'm saying that because I'm biased, because I'm English, but they just absolutely slayed it.
We know it is in Sweden, of course, next year, but where would you like it to be? You said Turin was your first one, so you weren't there when it's been hosted by Sweden before. Is there somewhere you're kind of hoping for it to be in Sweden?
I just like an excuse to go to Sweden. I don't really care where it is, frankly.
Fair enough. It's quite really a nice place, let me tell you that. It's a pretty good place for a Eurovision Song Contest, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like only a couple of places have actually applied for it anyway, and it looks like a couple of the arenas are down for the count anyway with construction happening during next season. So I think we're kind of stuck with Stockholm one way or another. See what happens, but I don't mind where we're going. Don't get me wrong, kind of wanted to go to Helsinki, but, you know, cha-cha-cha-ing our way to Sweden instead. But, you know, Team Loreen here, I'm still very happy that we're going to Sweden.
Yeah, I have similar thoughts, actually, with regards to Helsinki, because I've already been to Stockholm, so kind of wanted a holiday to Helsinki, which maybe slightly more biased towards Finland's entry than I maybe perhaps should have been. I don't know. There's a lot that's happened in the last month. Susie, where can people find out more about Euro Riffs and find out what you do and listen to the podcast?
Well, we are on all of the major platforms, so you can find us on Apple Podcasts, everywhere you can find your favorite podcasts. We're on all the socials as well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, you can find us there. And we're also at euroriffs.com as well.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you very much for that, Susie. And if you do listen to the latest one, you might hear some familiar voices as well, because we'll be on there too.
So. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. So. We're going to see your opinions on some peripheral content as well.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you so much, Susie.
No problem.
All right, that brings us to an end of another Null Point. And thank you very much for your company. Thank you as well for your correspondence. I know we haven't been around for the last month. We're taking things slow.
Yeah.
And now that Eurovision is over, before we get into things proper again. But you have been getting in touch, and we'll give you the details of how you can continue to do that over the next month. But first, we were going to do this on one of our previous episodes, but we ran out of time, so it's time to do it now. Luke always gets in touch with us every year now. It's become a bit of a tradition, and offers us a post-Eurovision poem. And this year is no different, and here it is. And I thought we could maybe perform it right now.
Oh, so, right. Luke,
Thank you very much for sending this, and here we go. So, so here we are, post-ESC. Another really top-notch year. It's kind of sad it's over now, but still a lot there is to cheer.
Of course, last year Ukraine did win, but could not host due to the war. At first, when news of this did break, it left them feeling rather sore.
UK stepped in and said to them, "Come have a party at our crib. We'll do you proud and do it big," which, as we saw, was not a fib.
Lots of cities wanted in, all crying out, "Pick me, pick me." But of course, as we well know, there's only one it can be.
In the end, we went up north, to home of music, Liverpool. The bosses saw the bid and thought, "Oh my, oh wow, this is so cool."
To that, they really did live up. So much to do, so much to see. The shows themselves, what can we say? A big thumbs up to the BBC.
Such opening acts, such interval acts, that brought a tear and brought us joy. Rita Ora, Mersey songs, a girl and young Liverpudlian boy.
But moving on, we really must. Only one can win the day. Sweden's seventh, Queen Loreen. Oh my goodness, what a sleigh.
But who came second? A man in green. The fans for Finland were very keen.
But now, my friends, all is done. There really isn't that much more. Off to Sweden we now go. See you again in 24.
And one last thing. No, don't groan. This really is the ending now. You'll never, ever walk alone.
Ah.
Hey! Well done.
Thank you once again for that, Luke. We do love your poems and your correspondence. If anyone else wants to send us something, what Swedish city are you? Let us know on nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Also on Instagram, nullpoirpodcast, and we're on Twitter @poirnull. And do check out Euroriffs, their podcast, because you'll be hearing our thoughts on one of their latest episodes.
Yeah, that's the place to go. Meanwhile, let me just tell you very quickly about Sveg. Some of the big highlights of Sveg.
Go on, tell us about Sveg.
It's got a hydroelectric power plant, which was built in 1972. So that's pretty exciting. It's got a church, which is built out of stone between 1845 and 1847. And that's about it.
Great. Looking forward for more Sveg. Smeg? Is it Smeg or Sveg?
No, Sveg. Smeg.
Oh God, I've lost it. Right, okay. I'm not going to tell you about Uppsala.
No, you can leave that to the next edition. Yeah, and we'll see you again with more Sveg facts.
You can look that Uppsala.
Oh dear. See you again on the next edition of Nopwa. Prickly?
Bit prickly.
Bit prickly.
Prickly.
Bit prickly.